Been here in New Mexico since 97. I'm sorry, 94 in Las Cruces. Then in 96, we moved up to Albuquerque. We live in Rio Rancho, and I've done everything from pick cotton when I was 5 years old in South Texas fields to blow things up in the military. And so, little boy's dream, blowing stuff up with somebody else's money. So, but yeah, and I'm going to give you this, because I do this with my kids at high school. I'm a high school counselor at Volcano Vista. And whenever we have advisory meetings and I get all our stuff done, I say, you have opportunity for two questions about me. Because sometimes we just do paperwork and stuff. And the kids are like, what? I said, you can ask me anything you want, but I reserve the right to answer it or not. And it really helps build relationships with the kids. And so that is my mission field. I pastored for 15 years in Toledo, Ohio, and in New Mexico, Las Cruces and in the South Valley. And so it just kind of helps build relationship. And my son was in sixth grade, and I decided I need to resign my pastorate because I want to spend more time with my kids and do things with them. Because I'm going to tell you, I've been bivocational, and pretty much I was bivocational as a pastor for ever since I started. So I understand Bill. I understand the tiredness and the strain of, man, I want to be with the people. I want to serve them. I want to do this. Yet I have a wife. I have kids, and I want to do, you know, have to have that. My wife has been a teacher. She's now principal at Cyber Academy in Rio Rancho. And so Nick was in sixth grade. He's 29 now. And I resigned. And we got to go to Venezuela and work in the mission field for a couple of weeks down there helping some missionaries. And they were doing Bible translation with the Mako tribe, a group that had an unwritten language. And they had put together a pseudo-Spanish alphabet. And so they were translating the Bible into that and teaching the Mako Indian how to read. And now the Mako, in the last few years, have left their village and are going out evangelizing the other tribes along the river, the Ventuari River. And so it was fun to be a part of that. Garth Myers went to Spain with him. He was a missionary in Spain for a number of years and worked at a drug rehab center there and had a blast. I did that for two summers with him down there and had a blast working. We did a construction piece and we sit in some of the counseling meetings with the clients that were there and got to do those kinds of things. And my kids are 2 years apart, and when they were both 18, they came and said to me, you did it right, Dad. God, what else do I need? You did it right, Dad. And so, even in my imperfection, I look at that and I say, my goodness, I did that right. And my kids told me, and yet, I look at them and I think, oh, I wish there were some words I could take back. I wish there were moments I could take back, but I can't. And that's in my imperfection as a dad. Okay. I meet with a group of young men, young fathers, and here's my counsel to them. When you're in the grocery store and you're yelling at your kid, call it yelling if you want, you know, you're disciplining your child. It's really not about your child and their behavior. It's what you're thinking. All these other people are looking at you and looking at your child. And it's about you and you're wondering, man, they're thinking I'm a bad dad. Right? So, and the young dads are like, oh, wow. I said, it's all right. My son grew up. He's good. Okay? He's a great mechanic. He works at Malloy Nissan. He loves his job. He's a good citizen. And my daughter's a wonderful girl. Beautiful heart. Loves God. My kids love God. And so I wonder about us in that sense. So I'm going to give you what I give my, well, last year they were ninth graders. I'll walk with them through till they graduate. So they're sophomores and I have the same kids and maybe some new ones. So two questions. You can ask me anything, but again, I reserve the right to answer it or not. Because I don't know you and you don't know me. How did I come to know Christ? 1973, I was in Southeast Asia and sitting up on a 1,000-pound bomb, putting it together. And my buddy Smitty, who we were in bomb school together in Denver, Colorado. And I could see something different about Smitty. And he would say, come on over to my house and we'll eat supper. I'll make supper. My wife will make supper. Well, his wife would make supper. And it was spaghetti. We were one stripers in the Air Force. We didn't make any money in the 70s. Still don't make any money in here now, but in the military. But I could see something different about his life and his family life. And so one day we were sitting in the hooch. And across the table, and we started talking about relationship and religion. And I was able to give him a lot of religion. He was giving me a lot of relationship. That was 1973, 1977. It finally came together. Recognized who Christ was. Made an intelligent decision for him. Based on the truth that I understood. 30 years later, we're putting a reunion together with my bomb team. And Mike up in Utah was turning 50 and his wife asked, what do you want for your birthday? He said, I just want to be with my friends. That was us, the bomb team. And Schulze, who retired, Mike and Schulze stayed in and retired from the Air Force. Schulze had our original shipping orders to Thailand in 1972. So we backtracked everybody because we had Social Security numbers. And so we found everybody, but we couldn't find Smitty. Because we just knew Stephen Smith out of Columbus, Ohio. And we couldn't find him. Schulze says, I'm going to hire a PI, a computer PI guy. So he found him, but it was out of Indiana in 1949 when he was born. And Schulze and I, we're thinking, we were all the same age, but I was a young guy. Everybody else was older than me on the team. And I was the youngest one. I said, Smitty, what do we have to lose? I'll call. So I called and I said, Smitty, this is Bunks. If you were with this unit at this time, give me a call. Bunks is my nickname. And so I'm at worship team practicing. He calls my wife. She says, hey, he's at church. He's practicing on the worship team. And Smitty starts to cry. I'm the first one that he knows got saved. That's how. 1977. October 4th. So, Smitty and I pray for our bomb team. They're heathens, those guys. Yeah. But you know what? I love them. They're my brothers. I have two brothers, bookends, older brother and a younger brother. I love these guys like I don't love my brothers. It's just different. All of us were in the military, but my brothers know. I have kids. We all have kids on the team. All of our kids call us uncle because we know we have kids because of each other. We're alive because of each other. Life means something. So that's Smitty shared. That was it. He shared his faith. And just loved me, just cared for me, just respected me. And that's how. So 1977, it's been on the road to Emmaus. One more. Yes, sir.
But you blow up in the military.
A lot of y'all's money. GP bombs, booby traps, disarm bombs, things like that. So I wasn't EOD. They're a little smarter than I am. But we worked a lot with EOD. So I'm just a munitions ammo guy. So, yeah. So that's a little bit about me. Okay. So, in all that, Smitty's a pastor in Kentucky. And, it's just really interesting. And we got together at the reunion, and my son was a sophomore, I believe it was. And his favorite teacher was in a bicycling accident in his backyard. He had, up in Rio Rancho, at his bike trail. And, he went over the handlebars and busted his neck, and they ended up pulling the plug, a couple of days before school ended, my son's sophomore year. And so we're sitting in Mike's kitchen at the table, and I get this call, and it's my son saying, "Dad, he's dead. He's dead." This is a teacher that had my son in the palm of his hand. My son loved him. He'd go through all that core coursework that he didn't care about because at the end of the day, he had wood shop with John McAllister. And I get it. I did that in high school. We had auto mechanics and welding and all different kind of vocational stuff that we can't have now. I'm not the proverbial public educator, okay? I'm not politically correct. And my wife loves that I'm in Albuquerque and she's in Rio Rancho because she doesn't have to hear the things that I say or do. So, because I'm just going to share with you. And so we're sitting around the table. And I'm like, "Whoa, guys." And they're like, "What's up?" So I tell them, "I'm here." I forget who was here, but Smitty was the second guy to my left. And I tell the guys, "Look, I love you. If I don't tell you this, then I don't love you. If I don't tell you this, it's because I don't trust you. But I need to tell you because I love you and because I trust you. And we've proven that to each other because we're here alive." And I started sharing the gospel. And I look over, and Smitty's crying. Here's an investment he made, sharing his faith and seeing it live in action 30 years later. You see, what we say is just simple, perhaps, but it's only God that gives the harvest out of it. I can't do it. I can't save you. And you know what? I'm not even going to try. I just want to share with you. That's what I want to do. And can I love you even if you don't love my Jesus? I think so. Can I love you even if you don't accept my Jesus? But the good news is simply that God has given us life. He's given us hope. Here's a mission statement, called out and called to give every individual an accurate picture of God and help those who believe to become biblical disciples of Jesus Christ. That's a mission statement for life, That's what we're called to do. We've been given the Great Commission. Matthew, Mark, John has one, Luke has one. They said a little bit differently. But that's our job, to simply tell His story in my life. I've walked since 1977, and I've heard all kinds of things. I was a police chaplain in Ohio, Las Cruces in Sandoval County, and I've seen and heard all kinds of things. And I want to just say, sometimes we get locked in and into where we're at, and it's not who we are. Statements, testimonies. Through the years, I used to watch pornography every day. I was told I'm a sex addict. I'm a self-published blogger without a book deal, so I'm not a real writer. I'm a husband, but my wife makes more money than I do. I'm not a man. I am not an athlete. I drop the ball. I look funny when I run. And because of this, I've been called a girl, a fag, a homo. I must be gay. I once told a joke where I made a derogatory comment about someone whose skin color is different than mine. I was fired the next day. Now I'm a racist. I received a D on my sixth grade report card, and I didn't graduate from high school with honors. I'm an idiot. I cheated on my girlfriend in college, which means I am untrustworthy. I broke a promise to my mother that I wouldn't have a drink of alcohol while I was in high school. I'm no longer a man of my word. I broke a promise. I write about being a gentleman. But I've taken things too far with a woman and never called her again. I'm a selfish pig. I say I have a heart for the homeless, but I've ignored them if giving change would inconvenience my day. This makes me a hypocrite. I believe in the gospel, but once I denied my love for Jesus to a woman because she was an atheist. And I wanted to sleep with her. I'm unforgivable. I am alone. I am the only one struggling. You know, I give you this information because it's about building relationships. Smitty talked to me in 1973. 1977, bam, there I am. I didn't just change. And the truth is, I'm a sinner, but I'm loved by God. He loves me. And what about the people here? You know, families are messy. Plain and simple, families are messy. My younger brother's mad at my sis. My sister's mad at my older brother. And guess I'm the middle child, so who gets all this stuff? I told him, hey, y'all fix it. I'll talk to you. Okay. And I'll talk to you. Okay. And I could talk to you. Okay. But I'm not fixing you. Families are messy. We all have it. And I have to say that because when I go back to Genesis, families are messy. Dads lie. Oh, she's not my wife. Go ahead and take her. Really? My goodness. So when we have relationship with people and we're talking with people and we're living life with people because we're people. You see, I have a golden retriever, one real dog in my house. My wife had three rescued chihuahuas. My daughter found this Scotty in the desert when she's coming home. Gus likes me. He's the Scotty. I'm good with Gus. So I always tell people, you know, I go home. I know I'm loved. My wife loves me. My kids love me. My golden retriever loves me. Her name's Biscuit. And the three chihuahuas, I'm not sure of. But they're all buried now in the backyard. So, they died. And we have a little garden spot for them. But we live with people, and it's who we are and what we are. And we build relationships. I walk around at school, and people say, "Hey, Bob, how are you?" I said, "I have joy." I'm like, what? What's the natural response, the usual response? Fine. And you know you're lying. But that says, I will talk. Don't come into my world. So I like to use, I have joy. I'm joyful. I'm hopeful. What does that mean? Well, it gives me a reason to tell them why. That's my mission field. Okay? It's a mission field. It's my part of the world that I'm working at. I'm okay with it. Okay? Well, don't talk to me about that, Bob. Okay. I still have joy. I still have hope. I'm okay. But when we hear testimonies like this, when we hear people speaking truthfully about their lives, you know, I don't want to hang around that guy because there's a young man I ride a bicycle with. Well, we ride alongside each other. And he doesn't ride with me because I crashed 2 weeks ago. We were riding. We're in the Boskin. We're coming around this bend. And he already made it. And I hear, "Gate, drop." And I'm in weeds this tall. And I'm sitting on my bicycle. We've had a lot of rain. Well, I hit the first bump. And coming out alongside the gate. And it slowed my bike down enough that it just, my front tire went over the other one. And gravity. It's real. Beautiful chest plant. Blam! I'm like, oh my goodness. I call him Lobo because his last name was Wolf. We started riding bicycles together. He came to church one time. I found out he likes to ride. So I said, "Hey, let's go for a ride." From there, it got to, "Let's have some coffee at Satellite, then we'll hit the trail." I said, "Hey, would you like to study the Bible?" He says, "Yeah." So for the last, it's over 4 years now, we've been walking together. You know what? This guy shares his testimony about, he was a meth head, okay? Addicted to meth. How much he loved that. Went on a family vacation with his parents and his two brothers to Mexico. He has meth in the suitcase. And that's what I did. I'm like, "What? You're telling me this?" I said, "Do you realize what would have happened to your mama?" He says, "Well, yeah." And so, you know, he was sharing his testimony. And because now, you know, he's a believer. He's a follower of Christ. He loves God. He loves people. And through all that, when he was going to share his testimony at church, he called his parents and apologized to them. That's big. That's big. He called them and apologized to them. And that's God changing a life. And I get to be a part of that in his life. But it's about building relationships. I've been around drug addicts. I've been around, you know, slop. Okay? My life was sloppy. Okay. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. I'm going to read it out of the message because I like the way this says it. It says, it is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper and impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded, lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But look at the good news. In Colossians, Paul tells us that for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So we're called out of darkness. We've been rescued. The old hymn, thanks, you know, I enjoyed singing in the hymn because I haven't done that in a while. I hadn't seen one in a while at our church, so, but, you know, it's okay. That's good stuff. I was telling Les over there, y'all singing old Church of God hymn writer right there. He touched me. Bill Gaither. He's from my church background. So, Church of God at Anderson, Indiana. Whew, yeah. So, no, I'm teasing, man. Yeah. Bill Gaither's been around forever. The guy's a relic. Blessed assurance. Oh, Fanny Crosby. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchase of love. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That's good news right there. Good news. Good news right there. We're called out of darkness, and yet we're called to something. It's like my kids. When I call your name, come here. What? Oh, no. When I call you, you come here. Okay? Called from to here. Okay? All right, kids. I see y'all laughing, saying, Yeah. There's a reason. There's a purpose for the calling. Okay? Called out and called to a vision, dependability and boldness. To be used for the King and His kingdom. It's not about the kingdom of Canyon Bible Church. Nah. It's about the kingdom of God. You just happen to be a part of it. I mean, Paragon where I go could be the big toe. Y'all could be the nose. I don't know what part of the body you are. But we're all part of His body and His kingdom. Called to be His witness by being dependable, focused, and fearless when it comes to our God-given assignments. Have any of you read the book In the Presence of My Enemies by Gracia Burnham? A few years ago, they were missionaries in the Philippines, and they were kidnapped by some Muslim group down there. And they were eventually rescued, but Martin, her husband, was killed, shot while being rescued. And she says this. They were part of the New Tribes mission team. She quotes her husband in the book when he shared it at his home church. And he was killed in their rescue in the Philippines by the group, the Abu Sayyaf terrorist group. And he says, I wasn't called to be a missionary. I wasn't called to the Philippines. I was just called to follow Christ. And that's what I'm doing. So simple. I was just called to follow Christ. If you declare the name of Jesus, you're called to something. You're called to something. I don't think y'all just came out here in the canyon to do church in the canyon here. You're called to something to affect the lives of the people in this area. Be it if they're sex addicts, drunkards, thieves, liars, whatever testimony part you heard there in the beginning. Okay? You're called to affect their life with change. Smitty affected my life with change. If there's anything negative about the gospel, or anything negative that anyone could say about the gospel, it's that it is lived out by imperfect people. Me. Like you and me. But there is nothing, there is not one thing wrong with the gospel itself, because it's good news. We're called to a message of reconciliation. See, the gospel is not an ideology or a thought. Jesus is clear when he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's the only way. I love having these conversations in my mission field at school. You can deny it all you want, but you can't deny the fact that it's written and he said it. Well, I guess you could. We all have a choice. But it's still true. It doesn't change truth. The gospel is not a demand of what I must do to be saved. The gospel is a declaration of what has been done to save me. Of what has been done to save me. I was sharing with some of the guys, and I said, you know, I think back how stupid I was. I remember driving from Houston, Texas to Corpus Christi, and I blew a drive shaft on my van. What did I do? Went and stole one out of a new car dealership and put it on my van. I could have been shot. I could have been thrown in jail. And I think, oh my goodness. You know, but you think about these. Some of the stuff comes up. I'm going to be 62. And there's stuff that comes up. It's like, oh, I forgot about that. God saved a wretch like saved a wretch like me. Have you heard that song, How Many Kings? It's a new, well, it's probably a year or two old, I guess. But it says, how many kings have come down from their throne? I don't remember all the words. My wife, when we're singing together in church, she does this because she has to stay on tune because I can't carry a tune in a bucket. So, but it's such a beautiful song. Look it up on YouTube. How many kings have come down from his throne? I only know of one. I only know of one. For me. With all my ugly. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The Jew first and then the Gentile. I get to be part of that. I believe. I trust. All because of the gospel that just begs the question of what does the gospel do for me? One, it cleared my confusion about the truth. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What is wrong with me? What is the answer, the solution? Absolute truth is the gospel. It's absolutely true. It tells me, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I fell, not once, not twice, so many times. But yet, a couple of chapters, God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were still sinning, He sent His Son to die for us. That's good news. Good news that this canyon needs to hear. Good news that needs to be lived out by you imperfect people. Building relationships. Second Corinthians 5:17. The gospel creates new people. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Therefore, Bob is a new creation. If Bob is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's pretty good. My old is gone. The new has come. And Jesus' best friend, John, writes, if we sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. But it's not that I live a life of sin. It's an attitude. It's a pattern of my life has changed. I don't have a habit of doing what I used to do before Christ. But if I sin, I have an advocate, Jesus Christ. That's good news. The gospel gives us grace to clear our guilt. It gives us meaning to our lives. The gospel gives me a foundation, a purpose, a meaning, and a hope, a living hope. It is God's story. You see the word history? Break it up. His story. In my life. In your life. The sacred invading the secular. Jesus coming down from heaven to live a life with people like me and you. Think about it. Peter, bodacious guy. No, I'll stand, I'll do. He ran away from a little girl. And what did Jesus ask him? Do you love me? Oh, God. Yeah. Feed my sheep. Take care of them. That's you and me. I love God. Do I sin? Yeah, I don't want to. I wrestle like Paul. What I want to do, I don't do. And vice versa. What I don't want to do, I do. I don't know where my son came up with it. Just a little guy, when he came up with this phrase, if I do, I do. If I don't, I don't. His little guy, I'm thinking, Jackie, where'd he get that? Oh, I don't know. He just started saying it. If I do, then I do. If I don't, then I don't. I'm like, oh my goodness. It's kind of matter of fact. And that's about how Nick is. If he is, he is. And if he's not, he's not. Okay. I read this quote the other day. We're all a little broken. But the last time I checked, broken crayons still color. Even when the kids peel the paper off, like my 3-year-old granddaughter. Why? I don't know. But it still colors. We can be broken crayons, but we can still color. We can still give hope. Give a reason for what you have in your life. So let me come back to here with what we started with. I used to watch pornography every day, but my identity is not as a recovering sex addict. I blog, am self-published, and do not have a book deal, but I am a writer. My wife makes more money than I do, and I am still a man. I have spoken in a derogatory manner to someone with different skin color than me, but I am not a racist. I have broken promises, and as a result, I make sure my yes is yes and my no is no. I graduated high school with a GPA under a 3.5. I'm way under. But I am intelligent and I am capable. My son struggled through school. And I always said, son, if your C is your A, I'm good. We just want you to do the best that you can. You don't have to be this A student like your sister. She never struggled. Just do the best you can. And you know what? I believe that's what the Father is asking us. Just do the best you can. I can help you. I cheated on a girlfriend in high school and or college, but my wife trusts me entirely and tells me she feels safe with me. Now I'm going to tell you this part. I didn't cheat on girlfriends. I didn't cheat on my wife. But we're working on 35 years of marriage. And when I tell kids that at school, they're just amazed. Because they see their mamas or their daddies with 2, 3, 4 different girlfriend, boyfriends in their life, in and out, and they're just amazed. They're just amazed. So what do I get to share? A legacy of hope and commitment. And that your word means something. Has 35 years been peaches and cream? No. But I stood before her and witnesses here on earth and God, and made a vow to her. When I said yes to Jackie, I said no to every other woman on this earth. When she said yes to me, she said no to every other man on this earth. Our word means something. My son got a little crazy in school. Just attitude. And I said, son, let me help you understand something here. Let's paint a picture. You come home. Who's here? Well, Becca, you, and Mom. I said, I've been in your classrooms. God used to substitute teach. I said, I've been in your classrooms. I understand and see what's going on with kids. I said, how many kids in this class have their mama and daddy at home? He says, Dad, just like a handful. I said, that's right. I said, you have something a lot of them don't. Change your attitude. Change your attitude. And he's like, whoa, I didn't look at it like that. And I said, yes. I just have to help you understand. You have what a lot of your friends don't have. But Mama and I made a commitment and a vow to each other. We will live it. It means something. Who am I? I'm Bob Monclova. I'm a sinner. I am forgiven. These are labels that don't lie. I'm forgiven. I have life. 1 John chapter 5. This is the testimony. God has given us life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I have written these things to you who believe so that you will know that you have eternal life. No hope so, no think so, no. So, where does that bring us today? Where are you at? I never take it for granted that everybody who sits in the church when I share is on track with God, is saved, and knows it for sure. You know, it isn't about how we might walk on water, but how we walk on land. That's what it's about. It's about us in relationship. You and I need to live for a great cause, the gospel, and not live for comfort. So I ask, is your joy complete? Have you heard the bridegroom's voice? This is a beautiful bride right here, I'm telling you. That's right. You too, Lester. I'm beautiful. And my bridegroom is coming for me. I have no doubt. Let me ask you this. I told you by answering your question, when did you get saved? I said 1977. I made an intelligent decision for Jesus Christ. The real question is, have I absolutely, really trusted Jesus Christ totally? For my eternal life, by His life, death, burial, resurrection, and His promised second coming. Do I know for sure if I died right now, I will be with Him forever? If you haven't settled that honestly and with certainty, what we just walked through will mean and do nothing for you. That's it. Have you made an intelligent decision for Jesus Christ? That's where we're at. I don't know how y'all do it here, but I'm going to ask like we do it. If you can't answer those questions with clarity, with definition, with affirmation, then you need to do that this morning. Because walking out that door is no guarantee. My sister's 63. Last week she had a stroke. I have a friend who's 46 years old. They found a clot around her heart and from her thigh down below her knee. No guarantee. I'm going to tell you what guarantee I have. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I have trusted His word, what He has said, what He has done for me, what He promises, I have no doubt, ladies and gentlemen, if I stroke out here, fall on the floor, dead, guess what? I'm home with my Savior. I promise you that. Because His word says it. How many of you drive here and own a car? Okay. How can you prove that car is yours?
Title.
Okay. How many own a house? Well, maybe making payments on the house, but like me. Okay. How do you prove that's your house?
Mortgage.
The deed, right? Okay. Lester. Monday. Understand it's supposed to be an anniversary. How can you prove you're married? You know what? I've been with guys in bars that wear those, and they're not married. They just play the game. Yeah. Lester, let me help you out. 35 years. I have a marriage license. It has our name on it. Okay? God says, I write this to you who believe so that you will know that you have eternal life. No doubt, you will know. You know that car's yours. You know that house is yours. And you know she's your wife. I hope I pointed to the right one. So, okay. So, it's real simple. And I'm going to make it hard. If you don't know Jesus right now, you're here with people I believe you love, you trust, and you care. Just say, hey, that's where I'm at. I need to get this thing fixed right. So, there we are. Let's just fix it. It's already been done. There's my clock that said, hurry up and be quiet, Bob. So, these people. Hey, I'm just trying to work with it. All right, let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the journey that we all have. Thank you that it's just really simple, God. We make the gospel hard because we think we have to do this, 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 and this. When simply all we have to do is say yes to your call to be made right, to be made new. To know that your promise is true, that we can have life and know it for sure. So, Father, this morning I just want to simply say, Holy Spirit, because it's you that draws us to Christ. If there's someone here this morning, God, maybe they just feel a little bit weird and uncomfortable, maybe embarrassed about family and friends, and they think they've been walking the walk, but they're not in relationship to you. I just pray, Holy Spirit, you prick their heart. God, because this is what it's about. Eternal life. And living that life on this land as we pass through it. In Jesus' name, amen.